I'm Lindsay Lee with Lee Ranch in Edna, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Getting corn prices back to what would be a healthy price level for farmers requires more demand, but they may be facing a livestock challenge. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
USDA is finalizing a rule on what products can bear a Made in the USA label. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Various agricultural byproducts are going into the production of bioplastics. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll continue my series of reports on this innovative approach on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now.
We are still waiting for estimates to come in on the number of cattle lost in the Panhandle wildfires, but the numbers are expected to be big. Tyler Shaw of AgMarket.net says the losses will not affect the cattle markets right now, but we will notice the impacts over the months ahead.
It's similar to, if you recall, I think it was 2016, 2017, there was a massive blizzard in western South Dakota that wreaked havoc early in the fall. And, you know, the feeder calf market really didn't respond for about 8 or 9 months. So I think you're probably going to see the same thing. We're really not going to feel the effects of that for quite some time. That's unfortunate, especially unfortunate for the producers that lost animals. But, you know, the market's going to take some time to adjust for those lower numbers. I just don't see the short-term impact really driving prices right at this moment. But you're right. We're already dealing with low cow supplies. There was a lot of cows that most likely died in that area, and that's just going to be even fewer breeding animals, fewer calves coming out next year, and just making numbers even tighter. That's not necessarily what the cattle market needs.
Meanwhile, Governor Greg Abbott has requested disaster declarations from the U.S. Small Business Administration for Texas communities affected by the wildfires. If approved, these SBA declarations would make federal assistance available in the form of disaster loans for Carson, Hemp Hill, and Hutchinson counties and their contiguous counties. Those loans can help Texans whose homes and businesses were lost or damaged during the fires. USDA has launched a new program designed to help landowners improve habitat for quail.
The Working Lands for Wildlife Northern Bobwhite Pilot Project is a new effort supporting voluntary conservation of private working lands to benefit northern bobwhite quail and east central grasslands conservation. The pilot project is offered through USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. It has dedicated funding of $13 million for fiscal year 2024 for producers to help bobwhite and other game and non-game species by managing their working lands for early successful habitat while meeting their land's natural resource and production goals. For more, contact your local USDA service center. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
The latest crop ratings are out on the Texas wheat crop, and they're pretty much unchanged from the previous week's crop ratings. The latest shows 44% of the Texas wheat crop in good to excellent condition, 30% rated fair, with 26% of Texas wheat rated poor to very poor. The corn market needs stronger demand to push prices higher, but James Hunt tells us corn growers may be facing a livestock challenge.
As Texas High Plains corn farmers get ready for the planting of a new crop, they're looking at a depressed price situation. Corn prices running about a dollar or two lower than where they have been the past couple growing seasons. There's a lot of supply out there and some challenges on the demand side. In a conversation I had at an AgriLife event in Lubbock with Texas A&M grain marketing economist Mark Welch, we discussed one demand side issue for corn producers: declining cattle numbers.
Drought, particularly in the western part of the country and the southern plains states, the last several years just decimated the livestock industry. Inventory numbers are down, cow numbers are down, and so you expect it's going to start showing up in those cattle and feed inventories.
And compounding the decline in the number of animals, Welch says with efficiencies improving, protein producers in general are needing less corn per animal.
The numbers that I like to track are pounds of feed per grain-consuming animal unit. That's data we get from USDA, and they equate our poultry and our pork and our cattle industry in terms of grain-consuming animal units. And if you track the growth in those numbers of units that are out there consuming grain for the protein needs of this country, we've been in a downward trend in the energy feed, primarily corn, consumed per grain-consuming animal units for almost 10 years now. So a downward trend per animal unit. And then if you combine that with lower animal units, it really puts some challenges for growth in the feed sector.
But Dr. Welch says farmers can perhaps hope that low feed costs will ultimately provide an incentive for higher protein production and higher corn purchases. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
USDA is finalizing a rule on what products can bear a Made in the USA label. Jessica Domel has the details.
This week, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced USDA's final rule for the use of the voluntary Product of the USA label. According to USDA, under the rule, Product of the USA or Made in the USA labeling may only be used on meat, poultry, and egg products when they are derived from animals born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States. Vilsack told the National Farmers Union the rule aligns the label claim with consumer understanding of what Product of the USA means.
I came to you last year and indicated that we were going to take a look at trying to create some consistency and transparency and predictability in terms of labeling. I told you we had a proposed rule, Product of the USA. We received 3,300 comments about that rule. Today, we're filing that final rule that was announced. We're encouraging adoption of that rule as quickly as possible. There's an extended period of time before formal implementation, but we are now on record as being for the utilization of that label only when the animal is born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the U.S.
Vilsack said the announcement Monday is a vital step toward consumer protection and builds on the administration's work to bolster trust and fairness in the marketplace. He said the final rule will ensure that when consumers see a Product of the USA, they can trust the authenticity of the label and know that every step involved was done in America.
The reason for this is quite simple. We surveyed consumers. We asked them the question, when you see this label, what do you think it means? Well, it means everything was done in the United States. Well, actually, that's not been the case. Then we asked the question, do you place a value on that? I mean, in other words, are you willing to pay a nickel or two more if that is on the label? Well, absolutely. We want to help our farmers. So in order for that value proposition to be respected, in order for there to be fairness and honesty and proper representation in the marketplace, it's important to have rules like this.
Use of the label will continue to be voluntary. It will also remain eligible for generic label approval, meaning it won't need to be pre-approved by USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service before it may be used on regulated products. However, the establishment would be required to maintain documentation on file to support the claim. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
1 billion pounds of agricultural byproducts are being used to make bioplastics. Tom Nicoletti has more.
On the program again today is Dylan Baxter, CEO and co-founder of PlantSwitch, a startup bioplastics company based in North Carolina. Agricultural byproducts are the source for the development of the company's bioplastics.
What type of agricultural byproducts are you going to be utilizing for these bioplastics?
So the main one we're working with right now is rice husks, but we have also done work with everything ranging from wheat to hemp to agave, it's a pretty versatile technology, and we really can use most cellulose-rich agricultural byproducts.
Now, you have been quoted as saying that your company's goal is to turn 1 billion, that's billion with a B, pounds of plants into bioplastic material over the next decade. That is certainly a significant and lofty goal. Explain that your reasoning behind that.
According to recent studies, there's around 100 million metric tons of this agricultural byproduct produced just in the U.S. every year. So the feedstock is readily available and plentiful to achieve that goal. And, you know, that's based off of what we think is the addressable market for us as well. So single-use plastics is a pretty massive market in the tens of billions of dollars. And that is the primary use case for our products right now. But the technology that we have is applicable across a wide scope of the plastic industry. And so with the addressable market of that size and a feedstock that readily available, we believe that's a very attainable goal.
That is PlantSwitch CEO and co-founder Dylan Baxter, who will join me next time for one final program. I'm Tom Nicoletti for the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Central Texas temperatures are warming up as we near the official start of spring. We'll head to the Central Texas Blacklands for an update coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're bringing you the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
Central Texas temperatures are warming up as we near the official start of spring. To talk more about it, we go to Dr. Shane McClellan in the Waco area. And Shane, give us an update on what's happening in your part of the Central Texas Blacklands.
Well, corn planting is continuing here in the Central Texas Blackland region. It will continue as long as the weather is favorable. We've got really good planting conditions right now. I've seen some corn coming up. It's just a perfect stand. Mother Nature's being really friendly right now. As soon as a producer finishes planting corn, if they're going to plant grain sorghum, then they're just starting with it. And the replicated corn and grain sorghum plots here in McLennan County and got those in the ground. That way we can see the differences in yield differences, growing patterns across those different varieties, and greatly appreciate our local seed providers that always partner with us and help us put that program on.
Well, Shane, the temperatures have been great, but it looks like you're a bit dry right now.
We are, and even though corn and grain sorghum we planted in a really good seed bed in some moisture, our wheat is starting to dry out some. The wheat fields and oat fields that are being grazed starting to just not really look drought stressed, but you can look at them and tell that they've been tillering and they need some moisture. We do see some cracks in the ground in those wheat fields. It's been a little bit since we've had some rain, so it's time for our wheat to get a shot of moisture.
And how about the grazing conditions, Shane? How are they looking right now?
It's time, and with the warm season right here on us now, it seems kind of early. It's still what I would consider the dangers of frost are still there, but we do need some rain. Our pastures are starting to green up more with the sunshine we've had. The ryegrass, other cool season annuals are all growing really fast. We're at a point where they're going to run out of water. They're going to run out of moisture. Our warm season plants are starting to green up just a little bit. In areas where I see warm season forages protected from the north wind, I already see Bermuda grass germinating coming up. So not widespread over pastures yet, but it's fixing to be here. As our soil temperatures are climbing above 60 degrees, and it's actually starting to warm up, we're getting into the time of year where our warm season grasses could take off if those soil temperatures reach 65 to 7 degrees.
Thanks, Shane. That's Dr. Shane McClellan from Waco. There are some new therapies for lameness in horses. Dr. Bob Judd takes a look at some of those new therapies.
Arthritis and soft tissue injuries are the most common problems in performance horses. And Drs. Kyla Ortved and Laura Schnabel indicated at the AAEP convention that orthobiologics are being used more and more to treat these conditions. The orthobiologics available are platelet-rich plasma, or PRP, mesenchymal stem cells, or MSCs, and autologous conditioned serum, or ACS. The doctors presented a diagram to aid practitioners in deciding which of these treatments are best for certain conditions. Medications injected into joints were discussed, and ACS was recommended to reduce inflammation, and this product is produced from the horse's own blood. Also, a product called alpha-2 macroglobulin can be injected in the joint to inhibit cartilage breakdown. However, all of these products have inter-horse variability, as some horses will respond better to some treatments than others. Dr. Ortved indicates that the use of stem cells for meniscal injury in the stifle with moderate severe arthritis can be helpful, but stem cells are more expensive. Also, stem cells are recognized to treat soft tissue injuries, particularly injuries to the superficial digital flexor tendon, as stem cell treatment seems to reduce the possibility of re-injury. Some veterinarians also use shockwave therapy with stem cell treatment, but there is some concern that shockwave treatment could kill some of the stem cells. Dr. Ortved tends to use blood and serum from the horse to be treated versus using it from other horses, as an immune response to products derived from another horse could occur and decrease the response. I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look at how our markets wrapped up on Wednesday. Another positive day for the cattle complex. Triple-digit gains for both live and feeder cattle futures. April live cattle up $1.67, closing at $189.92. The June up $2.10 at $186.05. August live cattle up $1.57, $184.37. Feeder cattle higher. March up $1.30, $250.27. April up $1.72, $255.85. May feeders up $1.90 at $258.60. Cash fed cattle trade still quiet here in the southern plains. Feedlots are asking $187. No bids reported yet from the packers. Up north, we did see some dress sales on Tuesday. Iowa reporting some sales at $295 on the rail. That's steady with last week. Boxed beef prices mixed. Choice down 85 cents, $309.74. Select up 52 cents at $300.12. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Henry Pickett sells cattle in Abilene each Tuesday. Henry, how'd this last Tuesday turn out for y'all?
Oh, it ended up pretty good. You know, we had a lot of moisture prior to the sale on Tuesday, but we ended up with about 625 with about 100 cows. This thing just keeps getting higher and higher. Packer cows, high-yielding packer cows, we're bringing from $1.15 to $1.35. High-yielding packer bulls from $1.50 to $1.62. We had some really nice bred cows. They were bringing from $1,800 to $2,100. We had some nice pairs, 4 and 5 year old pairs. They were bringing from $2,100 to $2,400. Then on our calf end of the deal, we had some 4-weight steers. They bring upwards of $375 to $4. Had some 3 1/4 weight steers, brought $412. And the big thing that yesterday, we had some 8-weight heifers weaned long time. They bring $214, and their mates weighed 9 1/4, and they bring $210. Good. So this thing's on fire.
Yes, it is. And you said you'd had good moisture. I guess the wheat is looking pretty good up there.
It looks pretty good for the start of spring.
Right.
Better than it has in several years. It had a little late start, but once it got hold, it really took off.
Do you know of anything for this next go-round next week on Tuesday, Henry?
Oh, we've had a few calls, but since we've had this moisture, some people are going to try to hold on just a little bit longer, I think.
Good. Is there any more moisture in the forecast for the end of the week?
I think about 4 days, starting maybe tomorrow through Sunday.
Well, God's blessing us. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Here at the barn, we can be reached at 325-673-7865. My cell number is 940-733-8208. And we're having our March goat sale this coming Saturday.
Good deal. We appreciate you, Henry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And neighbor, we'll say thank you and goodbye to you also, but we want to see you back again tomorrow, Monday through Friday, here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, Walking the Pens. Neighbor, good day.
Thank you, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Lean hogs finished lower. April hogs down 47 cents, 84.87. May hogs down 35 at 91.85. Class 3 milk was higher. March contract up a penny, 16.45 a hundredweight. April took a big jump, up 49 cents, closing at 16.26 a hundred. Cotton closed mixed with the old crop lower, new crop higher. Traders waiting on the weekly export sales report getting ready to come out. It hasn't looked all that great the last couple of weeks. We've seen sales in the 40 to 50,000 bale range. China has not even bought any cotton, so we'll wait to see how that turns out. In the meantime, May cotton closed 33 points lower, 94.90. July cotton down 25 at 94.34. New crop December cotton up 29 points at 83.96 cents. Corn closed mixed. Traders continuing to watch the South American crop. In Brazil, soil moisture remains low, above normal temperatures and lighter rain amounts this week. Argentina's corn crop looking much better than that. We close with May corn down a half, 441 and a quarter. September corn up a half, 461. Wheat headed lower, both hard and soft wheat finishing in the red. It's hard to keep any gains in the wheat market right now as long as Russia continues to undercut everyone on the world export market. May Kansas City wheat down 9 3/4, 587 and a half. New crop July down 8 cents, 579 and a half. Soft wheat in Chicago, May contract down 3 1/4, 544 and a quarter. New crop July down 2 1/2 at 558 and a quarter. In the energy markets, April natural gas down 5 cents at $1.66. April West Texas crude oil up $2.23, $79.79 a barrel. The financial markets were mixed Wednesday afternoon. The Dow up 56 points, 39,062. The NASDAQ down 79, 16,186. The S&P down 7 at 5,168. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.